The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and the battle for 1600.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Well, it's happened. First ever instance in American history where a president has been impeached twice, with 10 Republicans voting with the Democrats. Now, by protocol, it should go to the Senate. Will it before the inauguration of Joe Biden? That's up to the majority leader at the moment. We shall see. But we have to share with you some of the events of today before we go to our next guest. This is the great Matt Gaetz, who was impassioned and in a very good way earlier today before the vote to impeach the president for a second time. Video cut six, Matt Gaetz, play cuts.
The speaker said to us just moments ago, words matter. But apparently those words don't matter when they're uttered by Democrats. When the gentlelady from Massachusetts calls for unrest in the streets, when the gentlelady from California brazenly brags that she called for people to get in the faces of those who serve and support the president. I denounce political violence from all ends of the spectrum, but make no mistake, the left in America has incited far more political violence than the right. For months, our cities burned, police stations burned, our businesses were shattered, and they said nothing, or they cheerled for it, and they fundraised for it, and they allowed it to happen in the greatest country in the world. Now, some have cited the metaphor that the president lit the flame. Well, they lit actual flames, actual fires, and we
time
put them out.
Expired. There will be order in the House.
I yield back.
Wow. They lit the actual flames. Jennifer Horn, host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. Welcome back. We're just going to just lay it out there for us, your reaction to today's events.
Well, it's, I think, a pretty sad day to be watching this political theater play out. I think we have lost truth. I think we have two definite systems of justice in this country. I think we have two stories, two sides to every story. And it seems that as partisan as we've all gotten now, we have lost what is really true. And Matt Gaetz, I think, nailed it. Jim Jordan nailed it today. I can't believe that 10 Republicans voted with Democrats to impeach President Trump for the second time, the sequel. And Seb, I guess my message today with all of you, with all of the listeners on The Morning Answer, is let's take President Trump out of this. Let's just think about our country. Forget Democrats, Republicans. Let's think about what's good for our country. And is a snap impeachment good? Impeachment used to be the most serious thing, yes, that the government could use to remove someone from office. Now we've seen Democrats twice, literally in the same year, use it because they don't like somebody, because they are opposed to someone's political message. And what is that going to do? We know precedence means everything. And what is that going to do when Republicans are in charge and don't like the guy sitting in the White House? Are they going to be using impeachment again, just like Democrats did, as punishment, like timeout, instead of as what it was meant to be used for by our forefathers? I mean, this is it just loses its power. And that nicks away. It chips away at our republic.
What do you think? You know, it's always hard for us to try and get inside the minds of what I think are deranged individuals. But what does it do for them, Jennifer, to have impeached him twice in terms of what they wish to achieve tangibly? Mm-hmm. What does it put on the scales of Democrat success beyond the, oh, the crazy base is happy? Is there anything beyond that, Jennifer Horn?
I think it's all about power. I mean, Democrats lost in the House of Representatives in a big way in 2020. And I think they are desperate to say, look, we were right all along. We should have impeached him. Look what this guy did, so that they could justify their first impeachment of him. So I think that's number one. I think number two, you're seeing Democrats alike who are very much a part of the swamp and who use this kind of political chaos to just sow division between average Americans who find themselves somewhere in the middle, right? This is sort of a distraction so that we're all busy fighting with each other, Republicans and Democrats. We fight with each other. And meanwhile, the swamp just keeps getting bigger, more powerful and richer. And so I think you see Republicans today like Mitch McConnell, Republicans today like Liz Cheney, and Democrats working together because they are scared of President Trump, because they know, not because he incites violent riots. That's nonsense. That riot was already planned. It was going to happen. Those people inside are criminals. They should be treated accordingly. But that wasn't something that President Trump did. They were already starting to break into the Capitol when he was still out there speaking, for crying out loud.
Right.
But they're desperate to blame him for it because they know that he still has a lot of political power, and he still has a lot of Americans who follow him and who listen to him, and they want to neutralize him. They don't want to be the party of Trump, and I'm talking about Republicans here anymore, because he disrupts the system. He's not one of them. He's an outsider, and so they want to take him down, and they're going to do anything they can, even something that is so fundamentally bad for the country. They're going to do it because they're afraid.
You are, a real rock, not just for California conservatives, but for people like me. I'm just baking a brand new idea in my head as I'm listening to you, and I'm going to test it with you. Do you mind? Can I do that?
Okay, I like it. Okay. You're like my Frank Luntz. Go ahead. I'll be your test group.
Oh, dear. Okay. Not a jab.
That's not a compliment. Never mind. I take it
back. For the last week, look, I still support the president. I still support making America great again. But for the last week, because of the events in Congress, I thought the president was going to be in trouble for about a year. In terms of he'd just have to get back to work, go back to New York and be quiet. I think that just all changed in the last 60 minutes.
100%.
I think that his ability to get into politics or stay in politics,
yeah,
just increased by about 1,000%. Am I crazy, Jennifer Horn?
No, I think you're right. And here's the thing. Look, you know, I would, if I had the opportunity to vote for, I would. I think that there was one misstep that he took. I don't think that he should have ever taken responsibility for that violence, because guess what? President Obama didn't take responsibility when police officers were murdered in Dallas. The Bernie Sanders and his allies did not take responsibility when Steve Scalise was shot. This is a dangerous precedent to set, that somehow you can just manipulate people into bad behavior, and then that person has to take responsibility for it. I believe in personal responsibility.
But did he take responsibility?
No, and I'm glad he didn't. But what he needed to do was take a more empathetic tone. I wish that he would have, and I would tell them that today. I wish that he would have come out and seemed more empathetic, because there was a loss of life. I think that's the one misstep that the president made. But the overreaction by the Democrats, the overreaction by big tech, and the overreaction by the news media to shut down President Trump is really not about President Trump. It's about shutting down anybody who ever supported him. We're being called terrorists. We're being called all sorts of things, racist, you name it.
Confederates. They're going back
to what got Trump elected in the first place, and that is bullying, marginalizing conservatives, and even people who are in the middle in this country. And so when they do that, and when they've been doing that this week, it becomes much less about President Trump and more about Twitter trying to censor you, Seb, or about any of you listening out there who may not be a public figure. You're still feeling censored. That gasses up the fire, and that brings people right to someone like President Trump, who is going to not have the shame bone to back down to all of this. And so we're going to be looking for that leader just like President Trump. And I think this actually helps out his legacy. With every impeachment vote that was cast today, it is, I think, it's a win almost for President Trump. It's ridiculous how that is true, but I think it will end up being true.
You're surrounded by liberals.
Literally and truly, right now, I actually have them around me.
Careful, watch your back.
Say hi.
Hi. What do they, how do they think this is going to be good for them? I'm just curious. Have you heard any justifications as to why this is going to work for them, Jennifer?
I don't, you know, it's really funny. I've actually talked to several of my liberal friends already today, and many of them are not supportive of impeachment. They know they want President Trump gone, but they know he's going to be gone in a week. And so they are thinking that this is a bad precedent to set. I haven't heard one person yet today that has told me that they support the impeachment of the president. I like him. That just means they think it's a bad precedent to set. I've also heard a lot of liberals joining forces with Republicans with the big tech censorship of President Trump. I mean, imagine, did you ever think a couple of weeks ago that we would say the ACLU, Angela Merkel, the president of Mexico, and President Trump would all be on the same side against big tech?
And Elon Musk.
And Elon Musk. We have in California, just on a smaller scale, there is such a push now to the middle from people who were considered liberals before, because there's such extraordinary measures being taken to shut down businesses in this state. And so Harmeet Dhillon, who is a very conservative lawyer, mm-hmm. has now joined forces with Mark Garagos, who is a very liberal, progressive attorney, to take on Gavin Newsom. I think if we can get through this, the silver lining here is that people are going to realize we're being played, and I think we're going to find some more common ground somewhere in the middle.
Wake up, America. Wake up, California. It's Jennifer Horn of crntalk.com, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. Follow her right now on that dastardly thing called Twitter, at Jennifer Horn, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Don't touch that dial.
ReliefFactor.com studios. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
She's our regular. She's our guest host. She's just an all-round champion. Follow her at Jennifer Horn, host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. She mentioned one of the great, great patriots on Capitol Hill, Jim Jordan, who gave as good as he got today. We haven't played anything from the great Congressman Jordan. Let's play a quick clip and then get our good friend to respond. Video cut to Jim Jordan.
Gentlemen, for yielding, Mr. Speaker, in his opening remarks, the Democrat chair of the Rules Committee said that Republicans last week voted to overturn the results of an election. Guess who the first objector was on January 6, 2017? First objector, the Democrat chair of the Rules Committee. And guess which state he objected to? Alabama. The very first state called, Alabama. President Trump, I think, won Alabama by like 80 points. Actually, he won it by 30 points. They can object to Alabama in 2017, but tell us we can't object to Pennsylvania in 2021. Pennsylvania, where the state Supreme Court just unilaterally extended the election to Friday. Pennsylvania, where the Secretary of State unilaterally changed the rules, went around the legislature in unconstitutional fashion. Pennsylvania, where county clerks in some counties, and you can imagine which counties they were, let people fix their ballots against the law, cure their ballots, their mail-in ballots, direct violation of the law. And they tell us we tried to overturn the election. Guess who the second objector was in 2017? The individual managing the impeachment for the Democrats. Americans are tired of the double standard. They are so tired of it. Democrats object to more states in 2017 than Republicans did last week, but somehow we're wrong. Democrats can raise bail for rioters and looters this summer, but somehow when Republicans condemn all the violence this summer, the violence last week, somehow we're wrong.
Early today, Jim Jordan pushing back on the lies, the propaganda during the impeachment hearing that has just resulted in the president being impeached for a second time. Jennifer Horn, does it matter? Does it make a difference in America today to point out raging double standards?
It has to. I mean, if we don't do that, what's left? This is what I think is so infuriating to so many people as we watch this today, that Republicans took real issue and conservatives and Trump voters. And let's be honest, 75 million Americans took issue with the way the election turned out. Now, that's not because we are insurrectionists. That's not because we wanted to engage in a coup. That's not because we wouldn't accept a president-elect Joe Biden. It's because we saw a lot of funny business. We saw a lot of evidence that led us to believe that there was an effort to legally steal the election and also illegally steal the election. And so we called it out. Guess what happened in 2016? Guess what happened in 2017 and 2018? We heard a conspiracy theory that had far less evidence than Republicans had to bolster their claims of voter fraud in the form of Russian collusion. I know my Congressman Adam Schiff was out there every day lying in the faces of the American people saying he saw incontrovertible evidence that President Trump had colluded with Russia to hijack the election. Nancy Pelosi on Twitter back in 2017 said that Trump hijacked the election. They contested the results of the election, as Jim Jordan pointed out, on this same day 4 years ago, or just about this time 4 years ago, they were doing the same thing that Republicans were doing with far less evidence. Now, if we don't call that out, how in the world do we ever move forward? We have to be able to have this conversation with our friends and neighbors. We have to have the facts to back us up. Back in 2005, they didn't want to accept the results either. Democrats fought the election then. I mean, this has happened consistently, yet it's okay because the mainstream media is in the back pocket of the Democrat Party, so it doesn't get called out. It only gets called out when Republicans take issue. Was Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, were they actually leading a coup or an insurrection? Were they not going to take the results of the election? No. They were trying to raise awareness about a real problem that needs to be addressed that's now been swept under the rug because these criminals broke in and went into the Capitol and kind of ruined the entire argument and now made anybody who makes that claim look like they're supposed to be called a terrorist or an insurrectionist. I mean, we have to keep talking about this, and God love Jim Jordan for doing it no matter what he's called in the news media tonight.
Yeah, God bless that man. Here are the 10 Republicans who voted with Nancy Pelosi to impeach Donald Trump for the second time. Liz Cheney, mm-hmm. Herrera Beutler, Congressman Cato, Kinzinger, Upton, Newhouse, Meyer, Gonzalez, Rice, and California Representative Valadao. What happens? I mean, you have been so involved in California politics. What happens to the GOP now? Do they really believe? Do the likes of Mitch McConnell and these 10 Republicans think that they can go back to the GOP like it was in 2016, 2012, 2008?
I think the people that voted for them are very much accustomed to the swamp. I mean, look at Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney primaried someone who was a Republican running for the Senate who didn't need to be primaried. She should have known better if her father was a former vice president about how politics work. But she did that anyway. She's had questionable judgment. I was actually doing my show this morning with Joel Pollack from Breitbart, who reminded me of that. I totally blanked it out. So she's made some questionable decisions about her loyalties in the past. I think that the Republicans who vote today with Democrats are not necessarily, and I don't want to speak for them. I mean, maybe some of them are doing what they think is right. But certainly I think some of them see a Republican Party that is a lot easier for them to move around in without President Trump calling out the swamp and insider tactics. And that's what I think these Republicans are really accustomed to. And that's what they'd like to go back to. And I think the leader in that is Mitch McConnell. He doesn't want to have to deal with being accountable to someone like President Trump, who's actually looking out for the American people and is not necessarily on the line to other interests. And unfortunately, I think that's what Mitch McConnell has done. I think he's done some good things, but I think he is very much the leader of the swamp creatures.
Do you believe the reports that he wants to see the president actually not just impeached but convicted in the Senate?
Nothing surprises me anymore. I don't know about the reports. It wouldn't surprise me if he would want to see him convicted because that would disqualify Trump from running again. I don't know if the president would even want to go through this again and go, you know, and run again. But I think to eliminate him, I think Republicans would breathe a sigh of relief because I don't think they ever knew how to deal with him. The establishment Republicans. I don't think people realize how powerful the populist message of President Trump really was. I don't think they get it. I don't think they realize why it resonated with Americans. And that's why I really believe that they will be voted out systematically over the next 2, 4, 6 years.
It's going to get very, very interesting.
Messy.
But it's going to be interesting. The idea, I think.
Do you think, can I ask you a question? I know it's your show.
You got 40 seconds. Hit
40
me.
Seconds. But do you, I always have people say, do you think there's time for a third party? Is there room?
No.
I think now more than ever, there is actually an opportunity for that.
I wish there were, but the structure, the infrastructure of the U.S. political system kind of makes it impossible, hobbles those efforts from the get-go. I think it's time to just take over the GOP. I think, you know, MAGA is here. MAGA's not going anywhere. I think after today especially, Donald J. Trump's not going anywhere politically. It's time to reform that cesspit that is the GOP. And I think you'll be standing right there with me, shoulder to shoulder. Follow this fabulous lady on Twitter right now. Listen to her at Jennifer Horn. This is America First. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
If you were doing something else, if you were working, if you were traveling, it's a fact. The President of the United States has been impeached for another instance, 232 votes to 197. Now we're going to do something very different. We're going to do a simulcast with Newsmax and the Chris Salcedo Show.
Because okay, folks, welcome back. We're on with former White House advisor Dr. Sebastian Gorka on his radio program, America First. And we're just efforting right now to sync everything up. Dr. Gorka, are you there?
I am. The wonders of technology. Thank you, Chris, for having me live on your show and allowing us to broadcast it on our radio show. God bless Newsmax.
It is an absolute pleasure. Look, I figure since we're both hosting programs right now, one of us could ask the other one a question. I've got one for you. And look, you probably saw the New York Times piece allegedly quoting Mitch McConnell's way of thinking about purging Trump supporters and Donald Trump from the Republican Party. Do you think these operatives in the GOP who want to get rid of Trump and his supporters, that they're severely underestimating just how loyal Trump supporters are?
It's not just that they're loyal, Chris, and that his popularity has increased by more than 10 million votes in the last 4 years. They don't understand where the power has shifted to, especially after today. Let me be clear. Donald Trump is more influential politically after being impeached a second time than he was before it. A week ago, I wouldn't have said his future political career was very, very likely because the events in Congress were used to smear him very effectively. But the fact that a deranged Congress with 10 GOP members has unconstitutionally, without a committee hearing, I mean, just a show trial of an impeachment against a man that they accused of a incitement to violent insurrection when he said in his speech, I was there at the White House, he said, I want you to patriotically and peacefully walk to Congress. I think Donald Trump could be a political player sooner than anybody experienced.
No, I'm right there with you, man. I am right there with you. And I think that if President Trump is kicked out of the Republican Party, he's going to take a majority of the Republican Party who enjoys effective achievement rather than just a whole bunch of talking more than a bunch of Republicans who remember how the Republican Party was before President Trump got there. Whole bunch of people yapping about what they wanted to see happen, but they never got it implemented. And you were all part of that. Go ahead. Fire away a question for me in the time we got left.
Yeah, let me ask you this. What's your gut sense? Do you believe reports like that from the New York Times? Because hang on, I mean, it is the New York Times, but do you think Mitch McConnell is that slimy?
No. He's a tactician. I don't think he's that stupid.
Yes.
There is no way that Mitch McConnell got on, told people, anybody in the media. That's why they had to talk to people who knew his quote unquote thinking. First off, I don't trust anything that comes out of the New York Times. They are biased. They are inaccurate. And they have been undertakers of fake news the last 4 years of the Trump presidency. And then Mitch McConnell isn't an idiot. He knows exactly that type of comment that he made would lead to the conversation that you and I have just been having about a third political party, about disaffected conservatives and Republicans leaving an ineffective and childlike Republican Party because all they want to do is join the socialist Democrats. So, no, I don't think Mitch McConnell is capable of being that silly and that deranged. Now, I do believe there are some less experienced people inside the Republican Party who are. I mean, just look at Mitt Romney. But I don't believe Mitch McConnell is capable.
Let's close on this, and I'm so glad we're in full agreement. He may not be supporting the president, but Mitch McConnell isn't that dumb to make those statements. I think we can agree on that, Chris.
Sebastian Gorka, it's a pleasure, man. This has been fun. I hope we can do this again.
It's crazy. I didn't think we could do it, but thanks so much. Keep doing what you do, and it's a pleasure to be on Newsmax any time. But thank you especially, Chris. All right. That is... I can't believe it. I didn't think we were going to be able to do that. But we did it. Has the history of media ever done a cable news TV simulcast with a radio show and YouTube live stream? I mean, because you can do radio to radio, but I think we might have made history today. So everybody, do that old, patting yourself on the back. Nice job, team. Shad, Eric, Mr. G, kudos. I'm Sebastian Gorka, back to normal. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. I don't need a script. I don't have talking points. I've lived it for 2 years now. I'm so grateful to Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son team behind this amazing product, because I had a lower back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free 2 years later. But it's not just me. Listen to Yvonne from California. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Did you hear those words? Pain-free. That could be you. Find out if it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com right now or call 800-500-8384. That number again, super easy, but write it down, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. You've waited long enough. You deserve to know relieffactor.com.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
I feel bad about it. We've only got one segment with our fabulous guest friend of the show, but that's the nature of the day we are living through today. He is one of the true investigative journalists left in America, the creator, the editor in chief of justthenews.com. Bookmark it, check it out every day, and follow him, John Solomon, J. Solomon Reports on Twitter. John, welcome back to America First.
Great to be with you, Sam.
All right. On this sadly momentous day, I want us to focus on two things that you have covered so crucial to everything we are discussing. Number one, you wrote a piece at Just the News. We're going to post it now on Twitter, on Facebook, on the three crucial questions that remain unanswered about the Capitol siege. I'm just going to read the questions and then ask you what we know, if any, about any of the answers. Number one, how could the president incite an attack that had already been pre-planned and was in motion before his speech ended? This is a crucial timeline question. I was there. The president was still speaking when people were breaching Congress. Second, what did House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the other leaders in Congress know? And when did they know it about the possibility for violence and the Pentagon's pre-attack offer to send guardsmen to reinforce the Capitol Police? And then lastly, were there facilitators inside the Congress and outside it who instigated or enabled the attack to be carried out? Incredibly, incredibly vital questions. Do we have any answers, John Solomon?
We don't, and yet we're conducting a drive-by impeachment today. I mean, this might as well be a McDonald's drive-thru. It's just unbelievable that you would take the most grave action that the founding fathers, and we can't even use the word fathers on the floor anymore, the House, but it's set in the Constitution and treated as though it was a one-day entertainment event. We do know this. FBI officials have told me, they've said it now at a press conference, that the FBI had prior information that multiple people, multiple conspirators, people who have now been charged, were planning this attack in advance and were talking about it. And they became concerned enough by this information to alert the Joint Terrorism Task Force in Washington 2 days before it occurred. We know that people made sophisticated explosives that didn't happen on the fly after Donald Trump's speech. They were planted and made before Donald Trump even began.
We're talking about the RNC and the DNC pipe bombs, correct?
Yeah, and there were others in a car near the Capitol that were likely to be used in the attack if it wasn't for the brave work of the officers who intercepted that car. This was a pre-planned attack, and the FBI had pre-warning that something like this was going to happen. Therefore, just like we talked about Benghazi, remember Benghazi? We were told it was a spontaneous riot that was led by a tape. This was pre-planned. It was not spontaneous, and yet we're moving to impeach the president for inciting a spontaneous riot. The facts don't match the charges, and there's no process in Congress today to get to the facts.
Yeah, what happened today in Congress is a function of ideology. It's a function of smear tactics against the president. But we who believe in the truth will continue to ask these questions. John Solomon, J. Solomon Reports, justthenews.com. The other thing that you have discussed in a lengthy piece is, you know, the president has an incredible track record for keeping promises, as he says, keeping more promises than he actually made. But one of them which he hasn't is after Robert Mueller failed to find any evidence of collusion with Russia after 20 months and $40 million wasted, the president promised declassification of key documents. It hasn't happened. You've written a superlative piece. I think the number is what? 30 at the end? No, 30, 40, I didn't even get to the bottom.
40 documents.
40 documents that need to be declassified by the president, and he's got a week left. Give us just a couple of the things Americans deserve to know after the last 4 years of being lied to, John.
If these 40 documents are released, I promise you, you will be able to know for the first time that the Russia collusion narrative was invented by Hillary Clinton after she learned that some of her classified emails may have fallen into foreign hands, and they were worried about that revelation, and they set in motion a false operation, a false painting of Donald Trump as a Russian spy to take the spotlight off of her and to, quote-unquote, vilify the president. This was like a Hollywood script they executed, a fiction movie, and the U.S. intelligence community, the FBI and CIA, knew it, and they went along with it for 2.5 years. That's why these documents are so important. And I can tell you about something else. So this is brand new breaking news I learned today.
Please.
There is a document withheld from the impeachment, withheld from the Senate investigators for most of the Ukraine investigation, in which George Kent on November second.
The star witness from the State Department for the impeachment.
And with the bow tie, yes. And quite frankly, a guy who actually tried to highlight Burisma's corruption, he deserves some credit for trying. The problem was all the Biden and Obama people didn't want to hear about it. But he was trying to highlight that Burisma was corrupt and that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden were creating a conflict of interest. He deserves that credit. He wrote an email in the classified system of the State Department that made a remarkable claim about Joe Biden's conduct in Ukraine, and it's been kept from all of us. That's why this drive-by impeachment and the earlier one, we never were given the facts. The President, Secretary of State Pompeo, declassify that document now. The American public deserves to see what George Kent wrote on November 22nd.
And what is that remarkable claim? Can you tell us?
Well, it just said Joe Biden created a problem for the State Department in Ukraine. It makes an assessment. It's classified, so I can't get the actual words, but it makes a claim, I've been told from people who read it before it was classified, because it was classified after the fact, that George Kent was expressing extraordinary dismay, not about Hunter Biden, but about Joe Biden.
About Joe Biden as vice president, correct, John?
Correct. And the chief of Ukraine policy, while his son was making all those millions with a Ukraine national gas
company.
These are essential facts we got to get out. The president has 5.5 days. Secretary of State Pompeo, Pat Cipollone, White House counsel, let Donald Trump fulfill his promise. Get out of the way. Let him do it.
Wow. Think about it, guys. We're one week away from Biden being sworn in. And there's classified emails about what he was doing in the Ukraine as vice president that so disturbed the State Department, that document is still classified. That's why he's John Solomon, and that's why you need to follow him, Jay Solomon Reports, and check every single day justthenews.com. God bless you, John. Keep doing what you do. Keep fighting for the truth. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the, I'm going to have to find new adjectives, fetid, insalubrious, rancid isn't good enough for what's happening today.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
There is no arc to history. That's a phrase the left likes to use. What there is objective truth about the nature of man and about God. That's about it. That's what shapes our human condition here on Earth. And I want to reassure you on this most difficult of days that we will overcome. We will, if we allow courage to drive us, we will win. Why? Because it doesn't matter how long the oppression lasts, how large the group of dictatorial members of the elite grows to. Eventually, the good guys win. And we are the good guys. Because it is not good to make lists of your fellow man. It is not good to talk about re-education and deprogramming. It is not good to ignore 10 months of vicious violence across the nation only to raise your voice in condemnation when you believe that you are on the wrong side of that violence, when you feel not just threatened, but perhaps embarrassed by the events of last week. That is wrong. Either the violence of Black Lives Matter and Antifa was wrong along with the storming of the Capitol, or it's all justified. You can't pick and choose. So I want you to have faith in the objective truths. I want you to find your courage again, because that is what will save us. Whatever happens to Donald Trump, whatever happens after January the 20th for the next 4 years, we can win if we are true to ourselves and to the principles of our founding here in America. So have faith. Be strong. Do not hide who you are, because that's not the American way. I'm Sebastian Gorka. There's a reason we call this program America First. Please, please, please keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. My gosh, be careful. But hold the line. Never give in. Never give up. And stay frosty. We'll be right back.